I'm Pastor Andrew. It is great to be home. I am not unpacked by any means, but I'm unpacking my thoughts. And it is a joy to see you. Avalon Community Church, our 10:30 service here welcomes you. If you're visiting and you're enjoying the busy time of the year, welcome to Catalina. This place is packed with people and adventure. It's all over the place. Shelly and I and Grace have experienced a lot of adventures in the last week or two or four, and some of which we chose for ourselves and were excited about. We could plan a little bit, and then some of the adventures we did not plan for ourselves. And you know how that is. It just comes at you. We had a celebration of life for a lovely family member, a grandma who lived to be 90 years of age, an amazing woman. And you know, you can't plan on those things. You just don't know when things like that will happen. But she's lived a great life. So we went through a lot of emotions that week. Came home and left right away for the San Juan Islands. And in another adventure, building a relationship for Shelly and I, it was a new couple. John and Carol Ann shared the adventure with us, which was extra special. We're out in the wilderness. We're kayaking in the middle of nowhere, freezing cold North Pacific waters. But a very warm day, and we got to experience the wild, all of which has played a part in some of my thoughts and where my heart has gone in the last month or so. It is definitely, if you watch the news right now, it is definitely an adventure for a lot of people. They are moving into uncharted waters, so to speak. We had a river that needed navigating. They hadn't seen rain in this particular part of Washington since June 1st, so the rivers were extremely low. Nevertheless, though, they're Northwest rivers, okay? So they're going to be crazy, and they're going to be unruly and very, very cold. We had a chance to experience some of those areas, but we weren't rafting in one raft, so to speak, where everybody hears one word, all forward, all back, right forward, left back, or brace yourselves, you know, those keywords where, oh, we know to do this, all of us. We got an individual inflatable kayaks. So you have choices to make. The goal is to follow a guide, and the goal is to get yourself where you're going. But after a while, you start to spread out a little bit on the river. We did come together a few times, but you do spread out, especially going down a rapid. And you can choose different paths when you're in an inflatable kayak, as you would imagine, okay? Crazy adventures. So some of us spent time in the boat. Others spent a lot of time out of the boat. Certainly adventures that you definitely would want to remember. Some you'd want to forget. But certainly it taught us some cool life lessons. You know, to have a guide. To have someone experience to say, this is the river. This is the spot you want to navigate. This is where your boat needs to go right here. The rapid won't take you. Follow me into this, right? And then to have your own navigation. Here we go. Off the rocks and into the water, whatever it may be. A lot of life analogies there. Years ago, my family moved here. The first thing we did to connect with Catalina was to connect with the people. And we began with a little cove not so far from here, 8-10 minute boat ride called Campus by the Sea, CBS. Everybody heard of it? Pretty much everybody, almost everybody, okay. It's one, couple coves, three coves down, not too far. And some great ministry going on there, but Shelly and I really had no clue to the extent of how busy it was. We just cared about the employees and the people that work there. What are the staff like that actually do this and live here in this teeny little place with such a large congregation of people coming and going? And what we ended up doing was connecting. I personally connected with about four guys, one of which became a pretty close to the family, shared a lot of some of the things I loved, definitely a risky guy, really willing to go all out and experience the unseen Catalina, loved the ocean, really wanted to get into spearfishing and hiking and biking, just like bring it on kind of guy, okay? Little did I know that after a deeper connection, and we started a cool program here for guys called Wild Men, Wild Men West, which stays in the heart of the masculine journey that God has set up for us, that this guy would even take it to the next level. So after working at CBS for a couple years, he leaves their program, and he heads to Spain with a few of his friends and some other connections and does the entire Camino Trail in Spain. Anyone ever heard of that? Seen the movie The Way? You seen that? It's an epic adventure and at least almost 2 months worth of hiking. Moves back, I think, to Idaho and with family and other connections goes through a calling. And ladies and gentlemen, he's here this morning. He's a great friend. He's no longer with CBS and he's no longer hiking. He's fresh out of the BUDS program, kind of like the boot camp for the Navy. We have a Navy SEAL sitting with us as of July 28th. Give it up for Reed Richter this morning, if you would. Okay? Get up here, my man. You don't have a handheld. Let's just do this. Excellent. Reed! All right.
Hello. Hello.
Our pictures aren't working right now, but we do have two Reeds in the house. This is Reed number two. Reed number one was speaking to you this morning. It's kind of rare to have two R-E-E-Ds, the way that's spelled. But this is another Reed. That's Reed Woodyard. This is Reed Richter. And Reed is here for just a few days, just taking a little time to rest, coming back, saying hi to a lot of old friends and a lot of family members that connected with you, including our family. So, dude, the quick question, the military specifically, but the Navy SEALs, where did this all come about? I mean, when did the thinking start?
Well, when I was living out here when I was 17 years old, I read a book called Lone Survivor. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it or seen the movie, read the book. It's about one of the worst catastrophes to happen to naval special warfare. A lot of guys died, but it ended up being a really impactful story. Anyway, I read it, thought it was awesome. Never intended to do anything about that. But when I was hiking through Spain, that's where this comes in. When I was hiking through Spain, I got yelled at by a lot of French people for being an American. So my patriotism kind of swelled when I was over there. But actually, I went to Jordan from Spain. So I just caught a really cheap ticket to the Middle East. Didn't really know why. Didn't know what God was planning. But I spent 3 weeks with a refugee from Iraq who was running away from ISIS. And he brought me to a lot of people's houses, a lot of families who were also running. And I asked him, like, what do you guys need as from us as a church, from us as a country? And their response was always two things. And it was, get us a visa out of here. It's like, okay, I'm kind of powerless when it comes to any sort of bureaucracy like that. But also, I mean, these are Christian people saying this, like, defeat and kill ISIS so we can go home. I said, okay, that's slightly more attainable from a personal level. So I went home, and I went and talked to the Army, talked to them for a little while, realized that that was not for me, walked across the hallway into the next open door. That was the Navy. I was like, so what do you guys have? And they're like, oh, we got SEALs. I'm like, cool, tell me about them. And 2 years later, there just made it through.
That's awesome. Well, you've had a heck of an adventure up till this point, including through Europe, living in a cove, working with thousands of people and kids and families coming through there. You made some good connections here with other staff, and I know you've come with Brandon Zeke, who worked at Campus by the Sea, and he's here for the weekend. Good connections with good people, some of which were great Christians. You jump into this thing with the SEALs. You go into a smaller environment with a certain group of guys, a platoon that's got to get through this. You've got to survive this, including Hell Week. How do you balance? And what did God look like during that part of your life, specifically knowing that you may not have time to read your Bible simply because it is like this, like this, like this? How did you translate God in those places, those times?
So during the first couple months of this training, it's so high speed, fast paced, and agonizing and brutal. Playing it up a little bit, but there's not really any time to do anything personal, and there's really, like, I hate to say it, but there's not a lot of time to dive into the Word and to grow with God. But I think that was one of the closest times of my life, well, one of the times of my life when I've been the closest to God, because it was constant communication. Constantly talking to God. Please, God, like, help me get through this situation. Help me take one more step, God. One more step. One more step. And all the time, whenever something would go well for me, it'd be praise. Just constantly praying, constantly talking to God. It was the only time in my life, actually, when I would wake up praying. I'd just wake up in the morning, and the first thing in my mind would be, go pray, like, get this day started right.
Okay. At the end of the Hell Week, obviously, you were extremely weak and had a hard time. Reed and I had breakfast the other morning. That's how I know some of his story. He was telling me about his father actually having to hold him up in the shower when the program was over because, you know, there's a lot of jolting, a lot of things psychological, physically, your body had been tested to the max. And your dad came in. And when you told me that, I was just freaking out, you know. He held you up.
Yeah, my parents came out the weekend after I finished up Hell Week. And for those of you who don't know what that Hell Week is about, it's 5.5 days. You get 4 hours of sleep, 2 on Wednesday, 2 on Thursday. And you're running everywhere. You got this 200-pound boat on your head. You and 6 other guys are carrying it. It's supposed to break you. That's the thing. Buds does not make you. It breaks you. Tries to see who's willing to go to the extreme to stay in the program. And so when I finished, thank God I finished, my parents came out to see me that weekend, and they were shocked. I kind of waddled out to their car, and my dad actually would have to, like, hold me in the shower. My brothers and my father would hold me up to take me places because I was just so devastated. My body had just shut down. It was done, like, no more. And, I am so, so grateful they came because I don't know what I would have done. I would probably just laid in my bed and just, like, please, God, take me now.
Well, hey, thanks for doing this morning because I know you're here for rest. And, by the way, you want to tell them, how did you get off base? Just the scenario of leaving, that was pretty interesting.
Oh, okay. So
The paperwork.
It's just I graduated recently, and a bunch of guys got like a month and a half off. I was really looking forward to it. Unfortunately, I volunteered for something, so I only got 2 weeks off. And Navy, never again volunteer yourself. That's the mantra. I just kept tripping over like just piles of paperwork. There's all sorts of bizarre bureaucracy and. And like they're like, yeah, you got to do this, and we'll see you here. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I need a weekend. I'm going to Catalina. I'll see you guys later. And they're like, all right.
They let you go. Thanks, man. Thank you very much. Let's give it up for guys protecting our country. So before you leave today, slap five with him. Thank him for his service already, and deployment and other things that are in his future. He needs your prayers. Their whole family needs your prayers. Really cool. We're starting a new series today called Adventure Management, and this is not exactly the take maybe you have on it, because I'd love to think it's all about paddleboarding and outrigging and canoeing and hiking. That'd be great, because Catalina is known for all of that. But those things bring on what would be called a casual adventure. Risks such as rappelling or a zip line. They cause your heart to go a little faster, don't they? Being on a high ropes course and looking down at 30 or 40 feet, it'll certainly get you to think a little bit. Those are casual adventures. They wake you up physically. And when you're awake physically, such as living on an island like this that is geared for adventure, amen? It is. It's loaded. All of this place here in Catalina is just, you know, it's not exactly safe, but it's good. The dive park, beautiful place. You can get yourself in trouble going a little too deep or not planning ahead for your adventure there. Same is true going down Sheep Chute at 25 miles an hour. We plan these things in advance, but sometimes they don't go the way we want. But they wake you up. They wake you up so that God can take you to the next adventure. See, that's what Reed was kind of going for here, even though he didn't hear himself on that. It is made to break you, the program that he went to. God is here to take you to the next level. And when you think, I'm shuddering, I can't do this, I have to waddle through the rest of my life, he will be there to hold you up and to say, you got this. And you may not see this, but a couple weeks now from now, you're going to be sharing your story with a ton of people. God's doing that all the time. And he does that for me and you. Casual adventures that can help wake you up into larger adventures. One of which came up all too clearly. I put this out to 15 people. Some of these adventures that we look at are sudden and planned. Others are short term. Some are like Indiana Jones. Dun, 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 right? You just want to do those. I say the name and you're thinking, go out there. Don't touch anything and just explore the caves of Catalina. Could gold still be there or something like that? Others are just plain old like Indiana, and they're just plain old boring. Okay, there's some adventures that you want to experience, some that would get you past like Survivor, Fear Factor, the Buds program, a boot camp, whatever it is. Some may just need to be surviving from watching the news this week specifically. Oh my gosh, just get me through this day. The events of Charlottesville and certainly Boston and even here in Avalon, lots of things that are happening in the world. But when you think of the word adventure, there's not really one definition. There's not. It's my favorite word, but I have a hard time defining it because for me it can mean different things depending upon the day of the week and the day and what I'm going through. There's not one meaning. There's not one image or picture. There's not. You can't just throw one picture on the screen and say, this summarizes adventure, this sunset. Because for other people, it may be a relational thing. Everybody has a different thought when you think of adventure. So let's share a few of these things. When I say the word adventure, what comes to mind? Go. Fun? Risk. Theme park. Someone steal that one? Huh? Outdoors.
Overcoming obstacles.
Okay. Obstacles that need overcoming.
The unknown.
What's that?
A jungle trek.
A jungle trek. Yeah, going through the jungle. What else?
The open sea.
The open sea. That is one. Saw on that yesterday. Yeah.
Sailing in a wind that's way too much for you and it takes over the boat.
Okay. Wow. The wind picks up and you hadn't planned that adventure. And the open sea, as Matt put it, yeah, that's one for the books. And we're glad you're still sitting with us, Glenn. Sounds personal. Welcome back. Yeah. Keep. Huh?
Life.
Life is an adventure. Comes from the movie Up. Yeah. Any others? Huh? Growth.
Yeah. Comes with it.
Kids. Yeah. Hang on. Huh?
Fear.
Yep. You have to have a little bit of that. Yeah, it's healthy. Respect, fear, certainly all that. Keep going. Surprise. Have no clue what's in store. I remember packing the van with the kids. We're just going to Disney World, right? When we were in the Orlando area. Oh, just the trip there was the adventure, okay? The theme park was not. I'll go into more later. Any others? Amazon. Okay, I was thinking of Amazon.com, but that's okay. You know they're delivering by drone now. Way too long. Any other good adventures? What about some of our teenagers back there? Poppy, what do you got? Huh? Okay. All right. Yeah, and certainly he's gone into... tackle football. That's an adventure. First time this year. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. Really taking it to the level of, I'm going to test myself. I've not done this. I really want to try something new. Yeah. Even this service here for me, that's a big deal. Any others?
Okay.
Haiti. Yeah. Put yourself in that one just 7, 8 years ago with some of the worst we've ever seen on the planet. Destruction from earthquakes and beginning a new life, a new world for people. In general, we've got a lot of things set up, a lot of opportunity to help out with that. But boy, what an adventure when you go there. What you think may not always be. Thank you, Jedi. Interesting.
A foosball championship. Yeah, you never know who's going to show up at the table, right?
First day of school coming up on the 30th.
First day of high school.
Yeah, that's a heck of an adventure. First day of high school at the team center.
Yeah, but we're going to talk adventure management today.
Several weeks ago, there were 15 of you that I spoke with at different times and different places around Avalon. The seed was planted, and I let you see really what could happen and just
talk to you briefly.
The results of the questioning are in. We're going, believe it or not, towards the most popular one a couple weeks from now. This one fell in, and it was huge. In typical Avalon style, we did have some odd ones. We had three votes for the end times, to talk on the end times, talking about that in the terms of adventure. What could that look like in the end times? But they were all from the same person. Okay, so that one didn't count. We had one that put down mother-in-law issues. Thought that was good. Mother-in-law was written twice. And so either they really had some strong issues, or I imagine the husband wrote mother-in-law and the wife just wrote yo mama on there or something like that. But I got some good ones. I actually have another one that came in, and this one in specifically just said, I just need money and sex. I found that to be very interesting. They don't need adventure management. They just need money and sex. I love Avalon Church. This is the person is not sitting here this morning. You don't know how tempted I've been to make some extra jokes with that one, but we're going to leave it alone. I literally was very vulnerable about this, and I think specifically my personal vote did happen to count on this. The nation has definitely voted on this. But the summer adventures of choice, I know at least for movies, let's just go back and take a breath for a minute. For movies, Pirates of the Caribbean came out. I don't know what number this is, but that was the big blockbuster this summer. L.A. County and Orange County had another blockbuster. As a matter of fact, it's back again. It made the front page news several years ago, and it's back again. People are in the adventure of mooning. I don't know how many of you have saw this or not, but people are enjoying mooning trains. Anyone remember this? Front page news, okay? Orange County especially, huge. One of the most educated counties in the country, and the wealthiest places to live, and over 5,000 people have shown up to just moon Amtrak. And let me read to you what a couple of people said here. A 52-year-old woman said this: it's the greatest thing in the world. A 70-year-old woman who was there said this: it's something you have to do before you die. Is it just me, or is this world gone totally insane? Okay. This is news that comes out. This is stuff that people are choosing to do with their time. They choose this adventure. I'm having trouble wrapping my mental arms around the 70-year-old woman's comment, but you think about this, and people 70 years of age, seen much, done everything, and been everywhere, and this is the last adventure you really want to have, mooning Amtrak, okay? It's the choices. Thankfully, the grandma here helps my point, okay? We have, and that is this, regardless of what you've done, some days, specifically where we're sitting right now, there is inside each of us that wants the promise of adventure. We want something new, whether it's, you know, pulling your pants down to a train or joining a reality TV show, coming through the Buds program and just graduating in the Navy's highest honors. This is a big deal. Adventure is calling out to all of us. Sometimes it's in a relationship. It's in a marriage, possibly one that, you know, in a relationship with a guy or a girl dating, and something that may need to end. There is an adventure that we are seeking. And one of the growing channels we watch on TV, a lot of this thrill stuff, Discovery Channel is always out there. They're always bringing storms that'll kill you or fish that will swallow you. And people watch this stuff, dangerous furniture, that the world's most dangerous furniture. They actually did an episode on this, okay? Shows like this we're intrigued by, okay? They're constantly pulling you in. Why? Because, quite honestly, a lot of people live boring lives. When I got here, I was on fire to find bald eagles. And I started talking to people going, are you kidding me? Where I'm from, we have ospreys. Hard to find a bald eagle. People are like, oh yeah, we got them everywhere. I'm like, it's a bald eagle, man. I'm like, this is our nation's symbol of freedom right here. You don't talk about it like that, but people are like, oh yeah, we got them everywhere. They're all over the place. You haven't heard the story of the eagles on the island. And I was like, I got to find me an eagle. I got to find this. I remember that. And after a while, seven years later, here the four of us are on a kayaking adventure, and one shoots across this ocean waterway that we're paddling through, and everyone's looking at it. I'm like, oh, that's a bald eagle. I caught myself. I wasn't in Catalina anymore. I was in Washington. and realize, get back to that, Andrew. That's a bald eagle. You know, stop paddling for a minute. Pay attention. This is worth watching. You guys track me? I'm not saying I'm a bird lover, but that bird, it's got my attention. It's just amazing. A symbol of freedom, everything that comes with it. So, know how I know adventure. It's constantly battling with me inside, too. The last 25 years, I've studied the Bible. Some of you are holding that book this morning. And I can honestly tell you that I've learned that you and I are on an adventure. God's Word says that. We just either choose to follow the world's adventure or we follow God's adventure for us. And I've also realized the more incredible adventures in that book make Bud's program, sorry, Reed, and you know, Survivor shows and reality fish that eat you, make that look like a walk on Sesame Street. Okay? You read God's Word, you will find out there are people that have gone through stuff. There are stories in that Bible that are just breathtaking. And you're like, no way did that guy survive a shipwreck and jail and beaten and, you know, basically life taken from him and sing praises in a prison. And a prison break of all things and get out of it. It's all in there. It's packed. There's adventure all over the lives of the men and women in the gospel. It's amazing. But if you're here today and you're not into church, you're checking this out, you're not into God, you're not into Christianity, you're kind of investigating and asking questions, or kind of on the outside looking in, can I tell you for these few weeks, okay, that if you might sit here and you might come and you might be able to receive something, that this whole thing, okay, this adventure talk and what we're looking at in these subjects are worth your investment in seeing the type of adventure that God may have for you to live. Just give it a shot. Give it a chance. Because today is a big one. It's stuff that we're dealing with right now. And a lot of times people think Christians are boring. You know, Jesus, meek, or mellow. It's not my Jesus. If Christians are boring, then they're not living the type of Christianity that he set up, following God's adventure plans. There's just no way. I can be very unpredictable. People know that about me. I want to know what God has for me, and I'm willing to change on a dime. I don't want to be reckless. I want calculated risks that are in my life, but I want the Holy Spirit to calculate them. Amen? We could close in prayer right now after saying that. We really could. But that's the way we want to live our life. A reckless risk does nothing but cause sorrow and disappointment, both for you if you don't die, and then those around you that knew you or knew of you. And it's hard. Reckless risks are definitely risky moves. But it might be worth the next few weeks that you make an investment and just investigate how God's adventure is really a better adventure than the world's and its options that it brings. And then in this whole series, I hope that you know that. You're loved and take your time. The adventure that we're going to start with today is the one that got the third highest number of votes, and it's help on conflict. I struggle with this because I realize that when I say conflict, not very many people are going to raise their hands. Ooh, conflict, mine got it, you know, my vote. You know, that's not that kind of topic. But, you know, why did this get such high marks? Voted high because we all have relational and emotional conflict. This week is explosive with what's going on. We don't always have predictable outcomes. There are adventures. None of us wake up in the morning and, you know, have a clenched fist and say, I get to fight today, you know. But you do wake up with a target on your back. Many people are out to get you. I know that. You know that. Business owners here and other people that work with a lot of people, a lot of staff, a lot of drama involved. You know that. It's hard. But I want you to look at conflict as to something that can bring out sometimes the worst in us. It can bring out the worst in us. It keeps us from living life the way God intended it to be. Every person in here has at least one, if not dozens, of emotional and relational scars that can point to conflicts that they have had specifically. If a scar is not healed properly, anytime you see that person or remember what went down, it's triggered. And, you know, it's a memory that comes back, and those scars specifically open back up. And you relive that conflict all over again. How many of you have scars on your body physically? Raise your hand. Okay? almost everybody here. Some physical scars can heal on your body. I have plenty. In fact, I got a new one yesterday. And Reed was telling me about one he's got on his arm and the story that's behind it. But most everybody here does. Some kind of surgery or just something you didn't expect. Here's what a scar does. It reminds us of a painful story. Something there. This didn't go right. Every morning when I shave, I get to my chin and I think under here of this little scar. It reminds me of when I tried jumping off a swimming pool backwards at 7 or 8 years of age. I went back and went right up on the side, chin busted, blood everywhere. Mom's having to drag me out of the pool, which was embarrassing enough, which is bad. And probably one of the most embarrassing moments I had as a kid. I remember the stitches going down. I remember the guy saying, "You'll have a scar." And it all hit me just about a year and a half ago when a chunk of wood comes flying off a rafter and then cuts my lip across. I needed stitches for that too, straight across in here. And I remember kind of pinching it together, doing my own thing with the glue and all that jazz. I got a scar here and a scar here. Scars here. I got them all over my body. You guys, it's a painful reminder. Oh, my gosh. When I'm shaving, I look at it. But there's feelings of anger. There's other scars that leave regret and pain, seeking revenge, all those things that come to the surface. I had to fight through some of that crap this week. I did. It wasn't good. I had to deal with it. Okay? You saw that little drama up front here. Kind of gets the wheels turning. People come into your life and they have issues themselves, and all of a sudden that issue is transferred. You got an issue. It's not just with them. But what is that inside you that's causing that to stir up? That's where we're going this morning. Oh my gosh. I can tell you about a conflict in my life. It happened literally a week ago today. It may be too soon to talk about, but I'll find out when I get home. Okay. About a week ago, my son was home. Actually, for 2 weeks, my son was home. He was watching the house. He said, "I can't leave, Dad. I got school in 3 weeks, and I need the money, and have a great adventure." We bought it. Regretted it, but we bought it, and we're on this adventure, and we come home, we're completely depleted, dead tired, emotionally, physically, all of it. Bags unpacked, so to speak, ain't happening, but I went upstairs and attempted to begin unpacking. I just got tired of the whole deal, and I decided that I would take a break from sheer exhaustion and just go downstairs. My son's sitting there, and he's got his laptop open. He and Mom are finishing a conversation in the living room. I hear my wife say, "I'm not going to deal with that. I'll let your dad handle this." Oh, joy. Right? So I just walked into this hornet's nest. I had no clue what was going on. But I sat down. Mom exited. And my son is literally about to hit buy online and purchase a car. Okay? College student, no money, living out of the dorms. I was just fried. I literally, now, I don't know if you saw fireworks on the 12th of August, but mine could be seen at my house, okay? The amount of information that was crossing my brain in just a short period of time was substantial. I had less than 2% brain to deal with that. I'm like, "You want to buy a car? You know, what? You know, all summer working hard to pay for this semester of college, all the work. All I know is my son would be prepared to buy this car," and I had no clue. None of us had any clue he was even thinking about a car. Pretty big purchase for a first-timer at age 19. Who's going to pay this? Who's going to pay that? Insurance, gas, blah, blah, blah. All the thoughts that flooded it from our end. Bad timing on the conversation? Sure. Irresponsible for me to discuss this alone in my condition? Yes. Okay. Stupid argument late into the night? Yeah, it was. We had to do part two of that. It was horrible. Did my wife get involved? Yes. Have I forgiven her? Yes. Did she forgive me? Yes, I hope. Have I forgotten about it? No. By the way, he did get a car as of last night, but it was not what I was thinking, thank God. But he had some help with a sponsor. And yeah. He settled for a little Honda. It's got a lot of miles on it, but it's got a lot more that can come to it. And he's going to make it through. I'm tempted to want to bring it up daily this whole week and just think, oh, let's call Harrison. No, we can't. Oh, maybe he's out at dinner. No, he's looking at cars, you know. It just kept coming up all week long. You guys know those triggers. It just keep hitting you. Ah, the conflict may be over, but it's not really over. There's this $2,000 to $4,000 scar, potential scar that still needs to be healed in my life. I've got to deal with those things. And when I'm thinking of this awesome trip, the San Juan Islands, hanging out with my friends, meeting new friends, amazing food, dead tired at the end of the day, heck of a workout, hearing of other adventures, it all just got, you know, vaporized by this event that happened literally moments after arriving. I mean, it started with a van, a boat, a van, a plane, a car, a boat, and a golf cart, and then the conflict. Hello. These things don't always hit you when you expect them. I was tired. Why do I tell you this? Because I don't care who you are. Pastor or not a pastor, conflict is inevitable. Just like death and taxes. And if you want to live life to its fullest, if you want to live life and the adventure that God has designed for you, that has your name on it specifically, a better life and a better adventure than you've ever dreamed of, you can't be burdened with conflict. I needed to deal with that conflict quickly. And I had to. It was huge. Jesus said this, I came that you might have life and have life to the fullest. That's so big. And if you want that life, that adventure that God has for you, to really live it up and not be dragged down by these things that are huge in conflict, all that pulls you in, tears you down, got to stick with Him. Great verse here. Look at it in your notes that they handed you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Great verse here in the NIV. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. And when you read that, you might say, Andrew wants me to circle holy. The answer is no. Make every effort. Circle that. Make every effort to live in peace. Let's go practical. Okay? Tomorrow, you go to Vons. You go back to the real world. Get back into the grind. How do you make every effort to live in peace with the relationships that God has put us in? I want to give four things to do, and I want to do it in such a way that you'll remember these. And I promise you, you will remember these.